It's a schus and an honor to be here today. One of the highlights of my week, as I say every single week, is to talk Divrei Torah about the Parsha. This week is going to be a little different. This week, again, we're going to talk about Parshas Metzora, but then we're also going to talk about Divrei Torah on Leil HaSeder, to talk out different inyonim about Leil HaSeder, which is not so far away, a week and a little away. As we know, this week is Shabbos HaGadol. So we have two jobs. We have one job that we're going to talk about Parshas Metzora, ask a couple of questions, and come out with that major yisod about the Parsha. And then we're going to start with the idea of Leil HaSeder and different Divrei Torah. We'll just start. Again, we could go on and on for a long time, and I see in your faces that you're not so happy about that, so I'm not going to do that. But again, if we want to continue and have another shiur, people can email me. We could definitely do that also. The Torah tells us in Parshas Metzora, Perek Yedaleh, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. And Hashem spoke to Moshe, Zois tieh Torah ha-Metzora. This shall be the law of the Metzora, as we spoke about last week, Tazria Metzora, the idea of when someone speaks Lashon Hara, he gets this idea of Tzoras. B'yom Taraso, finally, he becomes Tahor, V'huva El HaKohen, and he comes to the Kohen. V'yatzo HaKohen El Michutz L'machaneh, and the Kohen shall go forth from the outside of the camp. V'ra'a HaKohen, and the Kohen has to see. V'hine Nirpa, and now he's the Tzoras is cured. Nega Tzoras Minatzorua. Now, what does the Kohen tell him to do? V'tzivo HaKohen, and the Kohen commands him. V'lakach l'mitaher shtei sipurim. He says, go and take two birds, two live pure birds, toros, ve'etz erez, and cedarwood, u'shnei tolas ve'ezov. And you should go take a crimson wool and a hyssop. Says Rashi, quoting from the Gemara in Erechin Tezayin Amabez, why are you taking eitz and erez? Because the affliction of tzaras is coming on Gasa's ruach, and therefore, since the cedar tree is a tall, beautiful tree, it reminds the sinner that he considers himself so high. Right? Why does someone speak Lashon Hara? Because he thinks he's better than everyone. Then Rashi says, why does he bring Shnei Tolas Ve'ezuv? Yashpil Atza Atzmo Megavaso. He should lower himself from his arrogance, Kitolas, like a worm, Ukezuv, and like a hyssop. But in the beginning of the pasuk, it says that he should bring two live birds. What do we do with the birds? So we know that one bird he shechs for the karbon, and then he sprinkles it, and the other bird flies away. And the obvious question is, why is this? Why are you dipping one bird in the blood of the bird, slaughtering over the Mayim Chayim, over the spring water, and the other bird you are letting fly away? What's that all about? We know that on Yom Kippur, we have a similar idea. We have Sir LaHashem. You take a seir for Hashem, you take a goat for Hashem, and Sir LaZozel, you go and kill the other goat. Right? With all that represents the Chaton, the Gemara Yuma talks at length about this whole process. However, why? Why by Mitzorah, one bird you are using and sprinkling the dam, and the other bird you're letting fly away? Question one. Question two in the Pasuk. There's a famous Medrash. The Medrash says, a Gevaldig Medrash. The Medrash says that there was a Reichel, there was a peddler. And the peddler was in the town of Sipuri, and he was screaming out, who wants to buy? Who wants to buy life? And the great Rav Yanai heard what the vendor was saying. And he said, come to my house, sell me some. So the peddler said, listen, Rabbi, you are a holy man. You are holy. You don't need my words, okay? You're holy. You don't need me. So he said, no. Come to my house and tell me what you got. Let's discuss it. So he came to his house, Gevaldig Medrash, and he says, listen, there is a book of Tehillim, Psalms, right? We have an interesting language, like Psalms, Psalms, right? Tehillim. And the Pasuk says, Gevaldik, it says, Paraglamid Dalid, Pasuk Yedalid,
Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim. That used to be a song, Shalshelis, right? Beyond Your Time. Good song. Nitzor. Sorry. Okay, so mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim. Oyev yom limra tov. Right? Who is the guy? Who's the man? Chafetz chayim. Who is the person that desires life? Who loves days of seeing good? Says in Ex Pasuk. Nitzor lishon chameira usvasecha medaber mirma. So what does that mean? Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Wow. That sounds so good in English. Okay. Sor merov asi tov bakin sholim viradfehu. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And what did Rav Yonah turn to him? Rav Yonah said, wow, that's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what you're telling me. And then what did he? Quoted a pasuk in Mishlei, chof aleph. Chaf Gimel. What does the pasuk say? Shor piv ushon oshomer mitzoras nafsho. One who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. And Rav Yonah was so, he said, I never saw such a meaning like this. And the obvious question that all the Achronim, actually saw in Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, I don't get it. He just quoted him a pasuk from Tehillim. What? Wow, you saved my life. You quoted a pasuk from Tehillim? Well, what's going on? Well, and now Rav Yonah is so... Rav Yonah knew everything. So what? Why was Rav Yonah so thrilled? Well, what novelty, what novel insight did this peddler reveal to Rav Yonah? All he did was quote a pasuk. Question two. Question three. We learned at the end of last week's parsha, Parsha's Tazria. Very fascinating. It says in... Perik Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Hey. It says, V'tzaru asher bo hanega begadov, and the person he has saras in his clothing, right? Yerprumim rosh yeparua, v'al safam yateh, v'tamei tamei yikro. And right, he has to do all these things. We learn Hilchos Avelus, like we said last week. And then it says, you should scream out, tamei tamei yikro. So Rashi brings down from the Gemara Moikon, Daf Hey, also found in Shabbos Samach Zayin, that he's informing others to say that this guy's impure, stay away from him. However, the Gemara Moikon gives another explanation that you should tell people to be mevakish rachamim for this guy. You should be mevakish rachamim for this guy. And the obvious question is, why are you being mevakish rachamim for this guy? This guy spoke lashon hara. This guy was a bad guy. He spoke evil. So what's the pshat? So again, question one is, why are you taking these birds, one bird you're using as a carbon and sprinkling the dam on his head, huzzah, doing the dam, and then the other bird you're flying, what's that all about? Question two, what's going on with this medrash? And question three is, why are you telling people to have rachamim for him? So the famous story that someone wanted to see really how great the Chofetz Chaim was. They couldn't believe that the great Chofetz Chaim, right, which we all know, the great Chofetz Chaim, Yisrael Meir Kagan, with the Raden, was called the Gadol Ador, 1839 to 1933. And they went to the Chofetz Chaim, and they went to his house for Shabbos. They wanted to see. There's no way. Malachim don't speak Lashon Hara. And they saw, they came to his house, and he was conversing, and he was talking different Torah. And he was friendly. Because the man said, there's no way. This guy, he's a hermit. He doesn't know how to talk. That's why he can write a book, because he don't talk. It's so easy to, you know. He doesn't talk, so he's not going to speak Lashon Hara. If you can't talk, you can't. If you don't talk, you don't speak Lashon Hara, right? But he saw that, no, he was friendly. He had conversation. And still. So what's the pshat? Because the Chofetz Chaim realized that we have a mouth. Why are we using birds? So the Gemara says in Erechin that birds chatter, birds talk. So we're slaughtering a bird to show that. But now, why are we taking another bird and let it fly away? Because you know what the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of what we're doing with our speech? There could be two. A person can say, listen, Hashem gave me a teva. What am I supposed to do? I'm friendly. I talk. But Hashem is saying, of course, use your tava, use what you got. But use your talking for productive talking. Use your talking for spiritual things. Use your talking for Torah. That's what it's all about. Some people think that, you know, it's so hard to stop speaking Lashon Hara. And it is. It's not easy. We're not malachim. It's not easy. But there is a way. Because the old way you do it is you start looking at positive things. Even if you see someone that you don't like, you look at his positive. Because everyone has positive. Really, Melech of Lezhinsk used to daven. And he says, put in your heart, place in your heart, that we only see the merits of our friends and never their faults. V'hafta l'reacha kamocha. I once heard a beautiful pshat. Love your friend like you love yourself. Well, some people don't really love themselves, so that's a little hard. But what does that mean, love your friend like you love yourself? Just like you know that we have, well, we all know that we have certain things about ourselves that we want people to overlook. No one's perfect. Only Hashem's perfect. So just like you have things you want someone to overlook, so to overlook your friend's problems. Look at the positive. Look what he got. Give him what he got. So what does that do with birds? Because one bird we slaughter, the other bird, we fly away. Use it for something else. Use the chatter for Tyra. Use the chatter for compliments. I heard a gavaldic thing. We know Oprah Winfrey. Right? We know who Oprah is. Don't pretend like you don't know who Oprah is. Oprah, right? A rich lady. And she has her own television broadcast. So Oprah, in the beginning in 2000s, I can make up a date, but you know, you'll look it up and I'll be in trouble. She spoke at Harvard. Harvard University, they always have a major speaker. And they had Oprah Winfrey, right? One of the wealthiest people in the world. And she spoke at Harvard, the end, the graduation. And she said to them, it's an amazing thing. She said that she's interviewed so many famous people, right, on her talk show. And she interviewed over 35,000 famous people. Not talking about nothing, famous people. And after she interviewed every single one, no exception, she said, they asked her, how did I do? Why? Because they want compliments. They want to know how they did. President George Bush turned around and asked Oprah Winfrey, how did I do? The President of the United States, probably the most powerful person in besides God, obviously, but the most powerful people in America, turned around and asked Oprah Winfrey, how did I do? Because they want compliments. In order to build someone, you need to give compliments. We all need to give more compliments. And that answers all these questions. One bird you fly away because you take your speech and you can use it for positive. What was Rav Yanai? What was Rav Yanai saying? Rav Yanai said, it's unbelievable. You're a peddler. Peddlers go around speaking gossip, going around. And I see that you are using your mouth to spread Torah. You are using your mouth to talk Tehillim and tell people that Nitzor L'Shein Chomera, to watch your words, spreading Torah, using your mouth in a positive way. Said Rav Yanai, that's Gevaldik. That's Gevaldik. I never saw a peddler that does it. Why does it say Yitma, Yitma? Because when you see your friend, usually when someone's speaking Lashon Hara or speaking bad about someone, it's because they don't feel so good about themselves. So they need to bring people down. They need to make people, either they don't hold to that person, but look positive. If you look positive someone, it will also bring yourself up. Because you'll be able to see the positive within yourself. That's the lesson we learn from Parshas Maseirah. That's what we learn. That if a person is able to build within his heart, by developing a warm and loving disposition towards our friends, we will find it naturally and we'll be able to speak well to everyone. If we're able to look at positive, because if you look at positive at someone, he'll look positive at you. That's just the way it works. Sometimes, like, we have fights with people and we don't even know why we're fighting with them. Because they think they hit them. It's like a round robin. Like, what? What just happened? But no, if you get control and you speak positive, and it could be hard, it could be your enemy, but it could be your enemy in your head. If you just speak positive and give compliments, be the bigger person, just go out. Even if you don't like that person, just give compliments. In the beginning, they'll think you're crazy, but then you'll show them that you could give compliments. Okay, now we're going to go to the next idea, Shabbos HaGadol. So the Shulchan Aruch, the great Rav Yosef Cairo, who lived it again in 1488 to 1575, originally from Spain, then he went to Sfat. He writes in his great, the great Shulchan Aruch, he writes that we have Shabbos HaGadol. Why do we have Shabbos HaGadol? Shabbos Shelfnei HaPesach, Korin Osor Shabbos HaGadol, says the great Chofetz Chaim, says the great Mishnah Berurah, Mipnei HaNeis, what's so great about this Neis? Because on the 10th of Nisan, which was Shabbos, everyone from Klal Yisrael took the seh and they put it by their bed. Basor lachodesh hazeh v'yekulahem, each seh lebeis avos. And the mitzrim, this was their god, and the mitzrim couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. And that was a nace. And that happened on Shabbos HaGadol. That's why we call it the Shabbos before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, says the amazing Mishnah Berurah. And then the Ramah brings down, or Moshe Israelis brings down, that there's a minhag from Mincha to start reading the Haggadah, because we have to start getting involved. We have to start getting involved with the Haggadah. And again, we're going to say a lot of Divrei Torah. The shiur is not going to go so much longer than the usual shiur. We'll speak 15, 20 minutes just to start off. There's so much stuff here. You know, there's hundreds of Haggadahs every year. There's more Haggadahs. My father-in-law, Rabbi Alan Schwartz, just put out an amazing Haggadah, right? The Haggadah of the Four Sons. Unbelievable. I saw it a little before. And there's Haggadahs every year. You know, you could spend years and years just on the Haggadah. It's crazy what these Haggadahs come out with. But again, a person needs to realize that the whole emphasis of Leil HaSeder, probably the most important night of the year. Who am I to say this? But this is what Chazal say. This is the Leil Emunah. This is where we're built as a nation. We come out of Mitzrayim. And again, we need to have Divrei Torah. We need to have Divrei Torah in our pockets. And our parents, obviously our parents pay big tuition bucks, so they want to hear Divrei Torah. But the whole essence of the night, and a person needs to realize this, the Brisker Rav says that the hardest mitzvah of the year is Leil HaSeder, because all the other mitzvahs of the year are actions. But this is this is again words, and we're going to talk a lot about it, but this is about my emotions. This is about how I emotionally connect to Hashem and realize that Hashem is really part of my life. And it takes, again, there's a lot of discussions and give and takes. And the whole Haggadah was formed in a way to get the kids involved in my Seder. So the whole thing that goes on in my Seder, again, I have a lot of little kids, Kanai Nahara, getting them involved and taking them. I always take a suitcase and take them to the shul outside. Some kids like it, some kids don't. Sometimes my wife's like, where's my suitcase? I'll be like, oh man, forgot. I mean, yeah, there's nothing really in the suitcase, you know what I'm saying? But again, doing skits, there's some great sites. Go on ish.com, they have amazing stuff. There's another site, go Google, you can look games on Leil HaSeder, Simchas Yechiel, I think, .org, has another great thing. Just getting involved. Again, sometimes you're gonna just be with people that are older and you want discussions, that's great. But if you're dealing with little kids, the whole point of Leil HaSeder is to the Leil of Emunah. This is where we're giving over the Metzorah to our kids and the Emunah and the grandkids and the skits. This is what it's all about. This is something they'll take for their whole life. But again, what we're going to do in the next couple of minutes is just go through a lot of amazing Divrei Torah. I've heard a lot of different shiurim on different Haggadah vorts, really a lot of vorts. We'll see how much we get through. Different from Shalom Rosner, I heard a lot of takes from him, from Ari Leibowitz. You can see all the stuff on YU Torah. Gevaldic stuff. So we know that the Haggadah, Vigata Levincha, has its start. Everyone has a custom. Kadesh Orchas Karpas. It's giving chills to people. Giving me chills. Wow. We're doing this in a week from now. Unbelievable. So the obvious question is why are we doing this? You know, all other mitzvahs, we don't do this. Like, before we blow shofar, before we shake lulav, we don't go, shake the lulav, shake the lulav, blow the shofar, because it's only one thing. But again, you know, blow the shofar and daven all day. We don't do that. So what's it all about? So I saw a gevaldik vort that the whole pshat is that whenever you go on a trip, you always want to have an itinerary. You want to know where you're going. If you don't have the itinerary, you don't work on your itinerary, then you're not going to know where you're going. It'll just be like, okay, today I wake up and I have this. You got a plan. So the whole point of Leil HaSeder is the itinerary. This is our itinerary. Where we're going now. Kadesh, Orchos, Karpas, Yachas. There's a framework going on here. But the whole tachlis is to get to this Leil Emunah. It's to show that the Rabbono Shel Olam is in our lives. So we know the first, Kaddish. Kaddish represents Kiddush. But this Kiddush is a little different. You know, I was zeicher to be sitting with my grandfather a lot, you know, being at his house in Brooklyn, and then when he was calling residents in different Pesach programs, Rabbi Bamzer. So I was able to hear a lot of his Divrei Torah. So I remember always saying, Hakol Beseder, right? You ask Israeli, how you doing? Hakol Beseder. Everything's okay. Sometimes they'll tell you that everything's not Beseder, but you know, they're straight up people. But Hakol Beseder. Because everything's in the Seder. Everything's going to be a Leil HaSeder. Hakol Beseder. Hakol in the Seder tonight. And we start off Kaddish. Kaddish. The Ramban writes, Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutterlach. We're bringing Kedusha into our lives. Something that's allowed. Now we know there's a famous machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. We know normally you're allowed to make Shabbos early. On Leil HaSeder, most people have the minug that they wait until it gets dark. And there's a famous machlokes, it's not famous, now we'll make it famous. There's a machlokes between the Magen Avraham, who was Avraham Goldbinder, one of the great achronim on the Shulchan Aruch, who lived in 1635 to 1682, lived in Poland, and he believes that you're able actually to make Kiddush earlier, however, you could only drink the Dalet Kosis after Seisas Kochav. However, the Taz, who was Rav David Alevi Segel, who was a Turei Zahav, that was a Taz, 1586 to 1667, believes that you do have to wait till Seisas Kochav. And the obvious question is, why? Why would you have to wait? So we know Kiddush, normally, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, that you're allowed to make Kiddush on Shabbos. Some people are making Shabbos early already. You're allowed to make Kiddush earlier. Rav, the Gemara tells us in Brachos Kav Zayin, he would make Shabbos early. A whole different sugya, how that works, what you're actually doing, how could you make Kiddush early? That's a whole sugya within itself. But the question is, why, according to the Taz, why can't you do it? So the Achronim explain the Taz, the Achronim explaining the Anachronim, that you know what the Pshat is? The Pshat is that, yeah, it's Kiddush. And to start off every Yontif, we make Kiddush. We're making the day, we're sanctifying the day. We have the ability to be Mekadesh the day. But it's more than just that. It's also the Dalet L'Shoynis of Geula. It's the four cups of wine. What do the four cups of wine represent? It represents the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. My grandfather used to always ask me, one of the first questions of the Seder, what he used to always ask, is what's the difference between Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? All right, fascinating. The Rambam does not even mention anything about the mitzvah of Zechiras, mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim. However, there's a separate mitzvah d'oraisa of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the difference? So we know that there are a couple of differences. Rav Chaim Salvechik has a couple of differences. By Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim, according to this Rambam, it's not a separate mitzvah. Rav Salvechik said it's coming under the mitzvah of Shema, the mitzvah of Emunah, of Shema. That's why in the third paragraph of Shema, we talk about Yisias Mitzrayim. Maybe you don't need to say it verbally. What's the whole idea of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim? That you need to say something verbally. It's give and take. The Rambam says that even if you don't have anyone in your Seder, Chas V'Shalom, it's very sad. But if you don't have anyone in your Seder, you still have to say it verbally. You can't be Yosei Tzipor Yisim Mitzrayim, according to the Prima Gaudim and other Achronim. You can't be Yosei Tzipor Yisim Mitzrayim without saying it verbally. Because there's a give and take. There's questions and answers. That's the whole point. Why? Because the whole point of Leil HaSeder, as the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chumash Matzah, Halacha Zayin, 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 that's the only reason I remember that, Zayin, Zayin, to show, right, 7-7, to show that we want to feel like we're Keilu Yotzo, we're actually leaving. We're leaving our Mitzrayim. And that's why all the Sephardim, they really, what I was talking about before, they really do it. They go around the table and they have this whole thing. We need to do this. We need to show ourselves that we're leaving Mitzrayim. That we're leaving all the things that are bringing us down. Because Mitzar means a boundary. We put boundaries on ourselves. We tell ourselves we can't accomplish this. I can't accomplish this in spirituality. I can't accomplish this in anything in life. We have to stop putting boundaries on ourselves. We have to stop get rid of the Mitzar. You see us Mitzar. We're leaving the Mitzar. So that's the whole pshat here. It says the Taz. Why are we not allowed to make Kiddush? Because this is different. This is a Kiddush that's also part of the Tzipor Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Nesivis, the great Nesivis, the great Rav Yaakov Lorbermaum, really known in Yeshivas, Rav Yaakov Milisa, the great Nesivis, he used to fight back and forth with the Ksois. Have you ever learned the Shulchan Aruch well? Unbelievable, right? He lived in the year 1760 to 1832. And the Nesivis, just geschmack just to say his name, the fighting back and forth, the Ksois, the riots, So he has a Gavaldikasha. He has a Haggadah. His Haggadah is called Maisa Nisim. And he wants to know that why is there no bracha on Magid? Normally when you have mitzvahs, you have brachas on them. You have shofar, you make a bracha on it. You have lulav, you make a bracha on it. All the different things, we have brachas. Why is there no bracha on Magid? This is a famous question in a lot of Achronim. Some people want to say that we do make a bracha. Asher Gualanu, at the end, we make that's a bracha. That's a little difficult because it's at the end of Magid. But the Nesivis explains beautifully that the whole point, what's the whole idea of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Amira is speaking out the whole story. So this whole idea of Amira is speaking out. Do we ever have a bracha on Amira? For example, do we make a bracha of benching Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Al Birchas Ham? No, we just go right into it. Do we make a bracha on Kriyat Shema? Whenever there's a bracha of speaking, we don't make a bracha on it. And Rav Schechter explains at length why. Because the whole point of a bracha is that we want to introduce the action with words of Kedusha before we do the action. Before we blow the shofar, we want to instill with Kedusha. But if the whole mitzvah is Kedusha, if the whole thing is Amira, so therefore we're not going to make a bracha on that. And that intertwines with this Taz, because the Taz is saying that you have to wait. You have to wait. Why? Because it's of the Arba Lashon and Ska'ula. Now, we know that we have four cups of wine. The Rashbam writes down in the beginning of Arba Pesachim, Sadi Tesem and Beis, he quotes down from the Yushalmi that it's from the Arba Lashon and Ska'ula, which we all know, Ve'otseiti, Ve'itzalti, Ve'ga'alti, Ve'lakachti. Those are the Arba Lashonos of Geula. The Netziv in his beautiful parish. The Netziv again, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, who lived in 1816 to 1893. He writes the famous Kasha. The Ran wants to know in the back of Pesachim, why is it four cups of wine? You should have four matzahs. So the Netziv develops in a lengthy essay. He says that no, because he wants to build from all these different psukim that there are four different developments of Klal Yisroel, what happened to them. Yotzeiti, Vitzalti, he goes into a whole beautiful, beautiful piece. However, I saw another, because Yerushalmi brings another explanation. The Yerushalmi says, why do we have four cups of wine? Because with the dreams of the Sar Mashkim and the Sar HaOfim, when Yosef HaTzadik was interpreting all the dreams, it says, if you look at the Pesukim, it says Kos four times. So the obvious question, what does that have to do with anything? Since Sar Mashkim, Sar HaOfim, right, and we know that the Sar Mashkim survived, and the Sar HaOfim was killed. And what happened? They went to Yosef HaTzadik to interpret the dream. And Yosef HaTzadik said that you, Sar HaMashkim, are going to live and you, Sar HaOfim, are going to die. Why? What was that all about? So maybe you'll tell me, no, Yosef HaTzadik was just interpreting the dreams. However, the problem is that the Gemara tells us in Brachos that really it's based on how you interpret a dream. People can interpret the dreams different ways. The way they're feeling, the way they're feeling the dream, what they take out of the dream. And the Gemara says, what's my proof? Yosef HaTzadik with the Sar HaMashkim. So you can't tell me that the dream was meant for that way. It's not true. Yosef HaTzadik interpreted it. So they say in a beautiful Haggadah that it's the Haggadah of Kemotzei Shalal Rav. It compiles a lot of different achronim. And it says a beautiful idea. It says, if you look inside the words of Sar HaMashkim, whenever he's talking about doing something, it's always talking about serving Paro. It's always about serving someone else. However, the Sar HaOfim was all about, how am I going to prepare my food? How am I going to bake my food? How is my food going to be good? Look in the Pesukim over there. So what's up, Shat? Because the Sar HaMashkim represents how I could serve someone else. The Sar HaMashkim wanted to serve his master Paro. So to us, we want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. We want to serve God. V'hotzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. There's one explanation. And another explanation is four cups. Because we're showing that we're not just doing it for ourselves. There's a Shibud HaNefesh and a Shibud HaGuf. There's a Shibud HaGuf that we have a physical freedom, which we'll talk more about upcoming shiurs, God willing. There's a Shibud HaGuf that we need physical freedom, but there's also Shibud HaNefesh. Because Shibud HaNefesh represents the idea that I'm free. What's a Ben Chayrin? A Ben Chayrin is someone that serves Hashem. That he's free of his taivas. He could do what he wants. He doesn't have to just give in to everything that he wants to do, but he's doing for a bigger purpose. The Sar HaMashkim realized that he wants to serve. He wants to serve his master. So to us, we want to serve our master. That's Kiddush. Karpas. I heard a beautiful word. Unbelievable. Karpas. I heard this from different people. I actually heard it from Pesach Kron also. There's an Abarbanel. The Abarbanel was Isaac ben Abarbanel. He lived in 1437 to 1508. He was a merchant and a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he has a beautiful, beautiful Haggadah. And he says one of the themes, very interesting, he says that the reason why we went down to Mitzrayim, everything happened, links back to the Mechiras Yosef. And when we're leaving Mitzrayim, we're trying to do a kapara for the Mechiras Yosef. And Rabbeinu Manoach, who's one of the explanations on the Rambam, says, why do we do karpas? What does karpas mean? Right? The name karpas is strange. Right, everyone has different minhagim, what they do for karpas. Right, either they take a potato or sell, whatever they do, and they dip it in the salt water. We don't wash the tilos yadayim. We're tibo b'mashke in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. We're taking chumers that when we're dipping, so we have to wash our hands. But what is karpas about? What is the word karpas? So this Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam, one of the Pirushim on the Rambam, says, you know why we do karpas? To represent the idea of to do a kapara for Keturnus Pasim, right? We know at the beginning of Vayeshev that Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef the coat, and they dipped the coat in blood. What? What does that have to do with anything? We're dipping a coat in blood? So what's the pshat? So if you look in the beginning of Vayeshev, Perek Lamazayin Pasuk Gimel, Rashi brings down, Gavaldik, listen to this, look it up. Rashi brings down, Pasim. What is Pasim? He brings down, quotes a pasuk from Megillas Esther, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav, talking about Mordechai, and it says, Mordechai was Karpas Utecheles. Karpas, in the Dibur HaMaskol, Pasim is Karpas, because Karpas is a Beged Meshi, Rashi, there's royalty. So we take the Karpas, which we see in Megillas Esther, and we dip it. That's where we show. Ketanis Pasim. Ah, it's Gavaldik, Rashi. It's Gavaldik. Ah, unbelievable pshat. Because we're trying to do a kapora from Mechiras Yosef. Just like they sold Yosef, the Ishmaelim sold Yosef, so too, we went down to Mitzrayim because of Yosef. Wow, we have so, oh my God, I just started Agada. I have so much stuff to do. Wow, okay. Unbelievable. Okay, so again, let's just, one last one, quick. But we have so much to do. We'll end with questions. Again, if anyone wants more, I think next week we'll do another Haggadah Shir. We'll just start off with some questions. Again, prepare the Haggadah. But again, the whole Leila Seder, these vorts are very important, and we need Divrei Torah, but it's to get to the Leila Muna. Halach Ma'anya. So the great Nesivis, who we spoke with, has Riakum Elisa. He has a lot of questions. We'll end with this cliffhanger. First of all, he has, I think, 7 questions. He first of all wants to know, why in the world are we inviting guests now? We're sitting at the table and all of a sudden, Holoch Ma'anya, come guests, come to my table. What's it all about? Question 2, the famous question, why is this in Aramaic? Question 3, Ka'achla Avo Sonu, what do you mean? They ate this? I thought we ate the matzah when we were leaving. We didn't eat this before. And then it says, Kol Dichmin Miyed, says a lot of double Lashonis. So what's going on here? What's going on? So, you know, we'll end with the I'll give you a little of the answer. A little of the answer. That the whole pshat, and the Siva says, is when a guy is sitting in jail and he knows. So a guy's sitting in jail, but he knows he's gonna get out. He knows he's gonna get out. How does he know? Because he has the confidence from what happened from Mitzrayim. He knows that he's going to be able to be free. So that's what's going on here. But you know, we're inviting guests. Because although we're inviting guests, and that's a Gavaldi thing to show our freedom, really, we're not fully there. We're still in the Golus. Even though we have Eretz Yisrael, we're still in the Golus. And if we had the halachas of a Karban Pesach, you're not an invite. You have to be appointed from before. So we're feeling right now, the Akhlu Avosanu, they ate the matzah. They ate the matzah in Mitzrayim. However, we have to realize that we have to give ourselves confidence. We have to realize, know where we're going, with this. And we have to show ourselves, it wasn't, the Halach Ma'anya was written after the second Beis HaMikdash. When we were despaired and we were upset, we didn't know where we were going to go with ourselves. But we looked within ourselves and we said, we're going to be able to do it. We left Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. And Hashem says, I love you, I'm going to give you confidence, come out. And that's the whole idea of Halach Ma'anya. So again, we started off different vorts. We have a lot to do. Again, this from Parshas Mitzrayim, the idea that we just have to keep on giving compliments to each other, build each other. And also the idea, the whole Leila Seder, to work, obviously prepare for the Haggadah, make your vorts good, but again, the whole idea, games and fun, get the kids involved, get your parents involved, get grandchildren involved, the night of Emunah, the night where Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem is with us every single day, because He loves us. Let us keep on working on our Emunah. We'll do more Haggadah. So many vorts, so much Torah out there, Baruch Hashem. But everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. Parshim Mitzrayim, a Shabbos Haggadah. We should see the Nisim and the Neflos every day of the Ribbono Shalom. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.